email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, architect Dermot Bannon joins us in studio. Super Spaces is on tonight, 9:35 RTE 1. Good to see you, Dermot.
Good to see you too, Ray.
I watched the second episode.
Oh, did you?
Of Super Spaces.
Okay, what's in the second one?
Owen Colfer.
Oh yeah, isn't that cool?
Yes, his little pod out the back.
Westport
his writing room. Yeah, Redmond Cabot, who I'm a big fan of. And Westport was there because you knew a guy from college who was the...
Simon.
The town architect.
Yes. So it's
And then there was your local coffee truck was in it as well.
But it's... and then there's the vaulted house. See the vaulted house?
The vaulted house, yes. Concrete vaulted house.
Oh my God, isn't that stunning?
Is that in Ringsend or around there?
Yes, Sandymount.
Sandymount,
it's
right,
kind of in the middle of Sandymount Village. So, will I describe the series?
Will
you describe it? What did you think of it?
Well, I really enjoyed it.
Good.
I really, really enjoyed it because there are some of the things. There was the other one of... I recognise that guy. He's an architect from the north of Ireland.
Paddy Bradley. And he did grand designs. He won the entire grand designs
with
a container house. But he's built another one on top of Barney's Ruins, which was his uncle's old house.
So it was the ruin of a cottage, if people can imagine it. And on top of that, he put a shipping container.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
Crazy looking thing, but it works.
It works really, really well, because a lot of times when people have... And for him, the ruins held all these memories as a child. He used to play in them. And you could kind of sanitise them completely by renovating them and putting a new roof onto it. It was so ruined, no matter what you did, it would never, ever feel like the place that he played in as a kid. So he just said, right, I'm going to play something on it. So all the ruins are still there. All the magic that is associated with his childhood is
still
there.
The bare stone.
And he kind of just cleverly kind of placed this container within it. And at nighttime, it's all lit up and you go up these stairs. It was just magic. Yeah. And he's a really lovely guy. And then
Catherine Spain down in Glen Bay in County Kerry.
Yes. Oh my God, that place. Go on. They made me do a scene getting into the bath.
I wanted to talk to you about getting into baths.
Yes.
You do like getting into a bath.
I don't like getting into baths. They like putting me in baths.
I'd say if people were to go to the RTE archives and go through all your work.
I'd say I've done about 1,700 baths at this. Can I say a funny... I don't know if I should say this or not, but I remember one time, because when you film those scenes, like we always go to somewhere... The reason I did it, because I remember the first time I ever went to one of these really cool houses was in New York, and we were on the 47th floor of this amazing building, and the bathroom had clear glass and everything, and I just got into the bath to see what it would be like.
Yeah. Fully clothed.
And the director thought, that's really cool. So ever since then, get in the bath. And then we did one in Australia, and I remember there was like the whole crew were there, fixtures, the whole lot. The water was semi lukewarm. It was kind of freezing. I had my swimming togs on me, and they had no foam to put in the bath, and they wanted to do a scene with a candelabra and all that. So fairy liquid went into the bath. I get into the bath. And I remember somebody watching the thing, and they're saying, can somebody go back over that footage to make sure you can see nothing? And they're, what the hell? I was wearing swimming togs. Do you really think I got in front of the entire crew?
Now, just for people tuning in tonight, you are fully clothed in all the baths.
All the scenes.
So Catherine Spain's, it's a cottage, and on one side she's put a bathroom, the other side she's put a glass cube.
Yes.
And there's another bath down the way.
Yes.
Looking out on the lake.
And you sat
in both baths.
I sat in all, one fully clothed, the other.
Yeah, yeah. So it's Super Spaces tonight. I really enjoyed it.
Because I think, look, Incredible Homes is a series by itself.
Yes.
And sometimes people get a little bit, okay, that's 5 million. What's that got to do with me? This is all about really clever design, from houses, from little spaces, from coffee trucks, right up to the story of the design of Westport and how Westport transformed itself over the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's episode 2. So if people tune in, expect that
tonight. We've got, what have we got on tonight? We've got the Rugby Experience in Limerick.
Yes.
Which is amazing. Which it's an amazing building by itself, but it also does an amazing thing for the town by moving a new landmark building right into the centre of the town. We've got one of the most beautiful houses I've ever been in. It's Karen Brown, the architect. I visited her houses before and other things, but this one, House of the Year in Ireland last year, the RAI Awards, it's a beautiful old cottage, and she's put this amazing kind of floating extension in amongst all the fields. It's just magical.
You're passionate about it, and that's obvious, and that's why they all work so well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I loved making this, because it's Super Spaces, and it's not just houses, it's a little bit of everything, and there's something for everybody in it.
Now, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I watched the second episode, And in that, you're helping Lily Guinness do up a bus.
For Electric Picnic.
Yeah, for what's it called? Trailer Park.
Yes.
In Electric Picnic.
Yeah.
And the final scene is you dancing with four clowns.
Yeah.
And you have a clown's wig on.
Yes.
When was that filmed?
That was last year.
Last year.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's a Dermot Bannon before, you know, you look back on that because things have happened in the intervening time.
They
quite
have.
Recently.
Yes.
And you're a different man now.
Well, I'm hopefully the same man, but things have happened in the last month.
Right.
It's quite recent, actually. Yeah. And yeah. Oh God, you're looking at me now just like, so go and explain it to me. To cut to the chase. Yeah. During the summer, we went away for a week's holidays and kind of now, thank God, it was only a week's holidays. We went to Portugal. Day number three, I went to the water park with my two lads who are teenagers. Well, the youngest, Tom, is 12 and James, 16. We went on everything. You know, those water slides where the floor drops out of it. As the day went on, and I was tired, but you know the way you're always tired going on holidays? And I was kind of, I just was putting everything down to just being tired and stressed. And that evening, got back to where we were staying and I just said, I'm going to go for a quick sit down on the bed. And I was in agony. So as the day went on in the water park, I was getting more and more tired. I got to the stage where I had to ask Tom to carry the rubber ring to get to some of the slides. And I was literally putting it down to old age and got into the bed and I couldn't lie on my side, couldn't lie on my back, couldn't lie on my front. And I was there just, I bet you I broke a rib. On one of the water slides. So I Googled that. And of course, as soon as you Google it, yes, I definitely did. And what immediate attention. So I was the only one who was insured in the rental car. So I drove myself into the hospital in Lagos in Portugal. And I was waiting there for hours. And I was really hungry at that stage because I hadn't eaten. And all I wanted to do was get out of there. And when I got seen, he said, no, you haven't got a broken rib. We'll do a chest x-ray. And they said, you've got a lung infection. And I had had COVID 3 weeks before that, so it was all put down to that. And I said, Grant, I got better. It kind of, the symptoms kind of subsided, flew home. And then a week later, so if I'd gone for 2 weeks holidays, I would have still been over there. A week later, the pains came back, but more severe. Lying in the bed, 4 o'clock in the morning, really sharp pains down my side. I was pumping Nurofen into myself to try and get rid of them. Got up the next day and I said, I can't. I went up to, you know, the health insurers have these clinics. And I went up to there and she said, yeah, you have a bit of a lung infection. It hasn't cleared up, but there could be something a bit more sinister. I'd like you to go and get a blood test done.
A word you don't want to hear.
No.
Sinister.
No. But she said, there's something going in my, but she wasn't 100% sure. And I said, oh, Grant, next week. She says, no, maybe now. So I said, okay, when I was starving again, I'm always starving. And I went home and I got a jumper because I knew I was going to be waiting for hours in A&E. And I went in, but I was just, I went in by myself because I said, I'd be home in a half an hour. Anyway, they did the blood test and it showed up that there might be some clotting going on. And then they hooked me up to, and they did a CT scan immediately. And I had what was known as a pulmonary embolism, which was blood clot that came from my leg, had worked its way up, was in my lungs, in both lungs. And if I had kept going and ignoring it and taking Nurofen, that was restricting blood flow. Like a little part of my lung has died because the blood flow has been restricted. Now, it's not significant enough that to worry about. But that was only getting worse and worse and worse. And what happens if you don't spot it, if you don't do something, the pressure in your heart can cause a cardiac arrest. So because this oxygen is restricted.
So your lungs aren't producing a lot of oxygen. Your heart is trying to pump more oxygen around your body and the strain is too much.
Exactly. And that's where the pain is coming from. And that's where the shortness of breath, you know, because I was exhausted walking around the water park.
Because you weren't getting enough oxygen around.
So I'd done, the morning that I went into hospital, I had done a gym class, I'd done a HIIT class. And I was wrecked after it. And I just, again, I was putting everything down to just getting a bit older. And
what age are you?
I'm 52.
It's
all relative. But so, yeah, and then kind of, I was put into a room by myself in the A&E, and they kept coming in one after the other. They prodding and poking me, like they checked all my veins, they checked my heart, they checked everything. And I was there. I don't need to be in this room by myself. And they're, you just stay there. And they were kind of, so I was getting the news bit by bit how this could have turned out if I hadn't have acted the way I did.
And how could it have turned out?
Well, you can die from it.
Okay.
That's you. Okay, right. The pressure, like the it's a clot. You're, right. And you know, if unless they dissolve, they're blocking oxygen going to your to everywhere, and the pressure can build up because your heart has to work so much to try and get, pump oxygen around. So if you've got loads and loads of clots and your heart is working really hard, it's kind of like the same as a blockage in one of your valves. Or
and you are a healthy person and
really healthy.
We've spoken about health before because
you told me to go to the doctor. But it was for other stuff.
No, but seriously, your dad died young, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And also,
what age was your dad?
He was in his 60s, but he had a big heart attack when he was 50.
Right, okay.
So dad had a big heart attack when he was 50. And because of that, like I'm really kind of, I watch my food. I'm always doing a bit of exercise. Yeah. I'm generally really good. And I honestly thought, and joking aside, the last time I'd never had my bloods done. I'd never had my cholesterol done. I'd never had anything done. And you were there, oh, Jesus, Dermot, you need to. Like, you're not that young. I know you're not old, but you're not that young. Yeah. And I actually had got them done after you. But part of it was just me feeling infallible.
Right.
And me feeling nothing can go wrong with me. I feel great. I look after myself. I'm all of these things. And I suppose this was really
But
weird.
I've heard before, Dermot, I've heard from other people.
Yeah.
This thing about, I just thought it was part of the aging process.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people put whatever they're going through down to just age.
Just
and that's quite dangerous.
Really? Well, I learned that.
Yeah.
And I suppose I learned it was the week after. It kind of really hit me because when you're there, you're kind of saved. That's the thing with what I have. Like, the clots is there's no point in going to a doctor because they can do nothing for it. I'm going to talk about it at the end. What to do if you spot the signs,
okay.
Because it's one of the biggest killers in Ireland, but nobody knows about it. Like, it's the
pulmonary embolism. Is it?
It's the same as a heart attack, and it's in the same vein as a heart attack and a stroke, right?
Vein.
And yeah, it is. It's a thrombus.
Because it comes from a deep vein in the leg.
It's venous.
It?
I have all the my consultants.
Don't worry about that.
Venous thrombosis. It does. It comes from a vein in the leg, travels the whole way up, and ends up in your lungs.
Right.
And if the clot is big enough, it can be like quick and serious.
So you were saying once you're there, you know, well, they've saved me.
Yes.
Right. So that's nearly a positive experience.
Yes.
Right. So then.
Then they come into you bit by bit and they bring pamphlets.
Right.
And the pamphlets are the scary bit because that's kind of, you need to read this now when you get home. This is how your life is.
So what's the heading on the pamphlet?
What do they call it? I'm a survivor. I'm a PE survivor. A pulmonary. I can't even say the word.
Pulmonary embolism.
You keep saying it.
Right.
I'm much better off texting.
You're
a
survivor. You're
yes,
survivor.
Which was that was oh, the word right. that freaked yes. me out actually the most when that word is associated as you're a survivor. But they said, but you have. And the thing is that you know, it going forward. Yeah, like I at the moment the treatment is very heavy kind of blood thinners, which will dissolve the thing. And there's two ways you can get a pulmonary embolism. One is if you've had an operation, you've had a fall, if you're pregnant, if you're on cancer treatment, like cancer and chemotherapy can cause clotting, or if you've had any kind of an operation, 90 days after the operation, you can be really susceptible.
Okay.
So they're the kind of the easy ones to watch out for. Mine was what's known as a spontaneous one, where there's no reason.
No reason?
No reason.
Hereditary?
It could be. It could be genetic. It could it could have been COVID when I had it, but they can't pin it on anything. So with that...
And what about the flight? Did they mention?
No, they say we went through it like we had lots
of
chats.
Yes, of course. Look,
and then, sorry. You're dying to know, aren't you? Right? There's no cliffhanger to this. Like this is the thing, though. You see, there is no cliffhanger. There's no end. This is when it's spontaneous. You kind of live this new parallel life where you have to. In 3 months, see, I'm still at the early stages of this and I have to go back for all the assessments in the next couple of months and they'll tell me then what could have been, whether I'm going to be on medication for the rest of my life, and that's the thing is that it's very difficult if they've solved it and saved my life potentially to take me off the tablets. So I could be on blood thinners for the rest of my life.
And that has implications.
Of course it does. I work on building sites. You get cuts, you get nicks, you fall over. I can't do that. Can't go skiing because you can hit your head. You can anything that might cause bruising. is dangerous.
And is this the first time you have had any huge health problem?
Yeah, like the biggest thing I've ever had done was a root canal.
Right, okay.
And that was fairly horrendous. Yeah, yeah. We can talk about that next.
So it is about you feeling infallible and now feeling fallible.
Yeah.
And immortal and now mortal.
And kind of that week afterwards, like, you know, and they did say to me, you'll get a bit of PTSD, and which I didn't believe them at the time. I'm sitting in the bed in the hospital getting all this information. It doesn't sink in that how dangerous it could have been. It doesn't sink in really until you go home and you think, oh my God, what happened there? Because by the time I found out, I was saved. You know, because they give you the injection straight away, and the injection is the thing that starts dissolving the clots. So you're there. The treatment is immediate. You know, You're already
you're saved,
on the path.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is to get people in, if they can. And
I had symptoms,
but
I'd
gone to hospital in another country, and they missed it.
Yeah.
So that's, and because
that's scary.
Because I was told it was an infection. So when I woke up with all those pains in the middle of the night, I just assumed it was the infection. And, you know,
it was more dangerous than no diagnosis.
Yes,
in a way.
Yeah, it was because that's the scary bit, that I wasn't scared when I got these really sharp pains down my side, because I'd already had a misdiagnosis. So that's the dangerous part.
And the PTSD of sorts.
Yes.
Did that hit you?
Yeah, it did. There's another pamphlet for that. There's a pamphlet for everything. And the pamphlet where, you know, take a bit of time to yourself. So I went for walks, and they were just, it goes into your head, and it doesn't solve it. So it was actually, and we started talking about Electric Picnic there. And because we did a bit of work at Electric Picnic, I kind of have a little bit of an in, and I can get a few tickets. I had a ticket sorted for Electric Picnic, and I didn't want to go. I was there. I was dreading going. But my cousin was going with me. And she said to me, we're going, and I don't care. And I said, oh. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Just getting out of my head, going and doing something a bit enjoyable. Because all the walking, all the rationalising, all the meditating, all the writing it down, the pluses, the minuses, none of that worked for me. I needed to just escape
You did all that. You did all that.
I was trying. Well, of course you do.
Maybe this wasn't said on air, but you're a warrior. You're a self-confessed warrior, aren't
you? Yes. Yeah. And of course, and I tried to rationalise it, and I did worry about all that. Yeah, like I tried to be really strong in front of everybody, like you're that I'm not doing this, and you're not, like you're fallible now, and life changes, and it's do you know something, even it's kind of what I'm a month and a week on, I'm a lot stronger now than I was. I was sitting outside, and I was there. This is the first time I've spoken about it really in a kind of in a public way. Yeah. Like a lot of my friends don't even know.
Do they not?
Yeah. No, because I just kind of those who were around me at the time, no, because
I find sometimes when something big like that happens and you're fine with it, but until you have to
talk,
verbalize
it.
Yeah. And I found myself in the past start, you know, crying about something because I'd be fine and it'd be in my head, and then when you actually verbalize it, that's when the emotions pour out, you know.
Yeah, and I was sitting outside wondering, how am I going to get through this? And the only reason I'm getting through it is because I know that maybe this information might save other people's lives.
Pulmonary embolism.
See if you can spell it there.
And because it comes from a deep vein in the leg, one of the symptoms is a swollen leg.
So I have them here. So a swelling or a pain in one leg, or a warmth or redness in your arm or your leg. So if you feel any kind of swelling in one leg, or warmth or redness. Now, this is the one that I did have. So there's four kind of symptoms. Short of breath. So if you are kind of unusually short of breath and you go for, say you're used to going for a run and then you suddenly can't, or you're finding it difficult. The other one is chest pain, which is what I got. And to describe it, it was like a sharp pain, especially when I took a deep breath in.
And it was on the right side.
It was on my right hand side. Yes. And that's why I wasn't worried, because I knew any pains to do with the heart were on the left hand.
Yes.
So everybody worries about a pain on the left hand side or anything going on there. Because it was in
and
my...
And is that because your right lung was worst affected?
That was because
you pointed that's dead.
That's exactly what it was. Right. That was the oxygen being restricted to that area, and that was that little bit of my lung dying.
Uh-huh. Right.
So that was the big pain that I got, and that the sharp... And the intake, whenever I inhaled breath. And one thing that I do every morning is I have a shower, but I also have a cold shower after it. And every time you turn on the cold shower, I stick this big, deep inhale of breath.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to feel it down my side.
Right.
And that was and then the last one is if you're coughing up blood. So if you cough up blood, but if you've got a sharp pain in your side and you don't know what it is, or if you're short of breath, you need those two. Just go into hospital, because you have to.
And thanks for coming in, and that's important for people. Just remind people that Super Spaces starts tonight. Well worth the watch. RT1 9:35. Has it changed? Like, I know it's a big question, but it has to be asked. Has it changed your outlook on life? Because you were this person who was unaffected by health matters, and now. It's quite a large health matter.
It does. It doesn't. What has it changed? I suppose when it comes to things that I want to do in life now, I only really kind of want to do things I enjoy. So
tells me you've been doing that already. But Dermot had a close call there. There is nothing like a scare, like a brush with your mortality. It makes you grateful for your health.
Absolutely.
The only real wealth that we mortals have.
Yes.
My brother died suddenly at 55 from a heart attack of age. I had no symptoms, but I went and got checked because of what happened to him, and I ended up getting a triple bypass. So you just get yourself checked.
And go into hospital, because the only way they can test this is with a D-dimer's blood test. You don't need to remember that. You can't go to your doctor. You can't, if you have any of these symptoms, straight into A&E.
Right. Well, good to see you in relatively good health, and your humour is good. Is that just for us, or is it?
No,
is it,
that's for me.
That's for you. Okay,
that's right. For me.
Darren Bannon, thank you very much. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.